You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM Radio. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and of course, northern Delaware, and also the entire world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. I wanted to say that we've received a tremendous amount of new people tuning into the program. In fact, many people even tune in from American Workers Radio to our Saturday broadcast from 11 to 12. They go on the Listen Live link. So it's really very interesting. I would like to take this opportunity to encourage you to contact family and friends, invite them to tune in. We're going to have a very interesting broadcast today, because we have a lot to offer, and we're going to talk about that. First of all, I want to say a special thank you to Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, who will not be able to be with us today because he is on a trip. Also with us today is Larkin Connolly, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Curtis Ellis is also on assignment today, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. And first of all, I want to wish all of you the very best for the new year, for a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year. And I'm sure that all of you will agree that the first days of this new year, 2020, have been very interesting, and we'll be talking about that during the broadcast today. In fact, we may have a special presentation coming up in just a few minutes. By the way, in my first radio commentary of the new year 2020 on my Saturday, January the 3rd show, I urged everyone, all of our supporters, family members, and friends to support the businesses that are manufacturing, distributing, and selling their products right here in the United States of America. We asked everyone to promote the Buy American Made campaign to their family and friends, to let everyone know where you're purchasing those products, whether they're on the internet or at a local store. And we've been really trying to get the internet people to also maybe do something to highlight American made products. But because they have such a tremendous amount of foreign made products in stock, they are a little bit hesitant to highlight exactly where the country that you're getting the product is from. So it's going to be a little work, but we are working together to make that possible. And there are also another very good things. I'm hearing from more and more people that there are a lot more American-made products in circulations these days. Great news. And it's good, I'm glad to hear it, because local businesses are doing something to unite local businesses, to make people come into their neighborhood, to come into their shopping center, to do some shopping. As you know, today we've been in a very, very strange mood with all the things that are happening there, causing all that to happen because they're sending these missiles over and all, and President Trump is going to be addressing the people. And if that's possible, we will have live coverage of that event. The Iran situation is very difficult, especially for Iranian Americans, because these are people that are victims themselves of an outrageous group of leaders who are filled with, you know, difficult hatred over the years for the American people, mainly because we enjoy freedom and they want to control the people. We remember even from the time of the Iran hostage situation in 79 and through 80, and until President Reagan was being inaugurated, were the hostages returned. When they saw a new style of leadership in America taking place, they figured, well, let's see what we can do. This guy doesn't sound like he's going to be too much of a pushover. And we've been watching this torment with the Iranian leaders for a long time, and it's affected our bottom line as Americans. Every time we have to send troops into the area, American workers are paying for that. Every time we have to do something to guard the American security, American workers have to pay for that. People of all ages who are paying taxes have to pay for those things. So we're all looking for something to happen that is going to be positive and make sure that we don't have to go through this on and on and on. Many of you remember the Iranian hostage crisis, and that was a standoff between the United States and Iran. That was 52 American diplomats and citizens were held for about 444 days. And it's what happens. Today, here we are, all these years later, 40 years later, and it's the same rigmarole. It just doesn't, it's not that way. But that is what happens when government controls the media, as they do in Iran, when government controls the news coverage that the people receive. They're sort of told what the government wants them to hear and not really what is happening. And I believe Iranian Americans, many of whom I know, are very, very discouraged to see this, because the American people that know them will, you know, say, oh, these might be people who will be acting up as a result of this. I don't believe that's the case. And I'm hoping that the president will bring us words of wisdom during his presentation. And if possible, we will bring those remarks to you. First of all, I want to say, welcome, Richard. How are you doing? Dr. Rich Loges.
Oh, Michael, good morning. Larkin, listeners, sorry I missed you guys last week. Michael, I'm happy to be on, back on. Such a crucial year we've got ahead of us. And I was I was actually talking with our audio engineer this morning, Michael, and I apologized for missing last week my opportunity to let him know that he's, as a swing voter in a swing state, we're going to work to earn his vote for November. We're not going to take for granted. And we had a discussion about the Rich Loges form, the Loges doctrine of foreign policy, which is, don't call us, we'll call you. But what I mentioned is that doesn't apply when it is not applicable when our country is attacked. And while I for the most part, Michael, I'm kept up at night, and I have cardiac arrest when I look at a lot of these international standards that the United States adheres to. But having said that, I will say there is one standard international that I actually do agree with, and that standard is if a country's embassy is attacked, it is considered an act of war against that country, irrespective of what country's soil that embassy is physically located. I do agree, Larkin, with that standard. And what has happened, Michael, in principle, okay, let me be very clear when I'm, make sure I qualify this for everyone. In principle, what has happened in the last week and a half or so is actually in principle no different from what happened on 9/11. Acts of war don't have to occur just at an embassy. They could occur anywhere on a country's soil or something directly associated like our embassy in Iraq. So what has happened is a very similar act. Thank God the consequences of it weren't the same, but it is a similar act as 9/11. And now we're going to see how united our country can be, knowing that the United States has been attacked by a nation that is the most mass murdering country in the world, directly. The people who kill the most in terrorism, Michael, are 99% of origin, physically or ideologically, from that region of the world. And the most rogue player is the one who has attacked us.
I agree with you, Richard.
Those are all facts. Now, again, whether you like the president, don't like the president, that's what I just said is how it actually is. It isn't the outcome that I want to come to. It's the outcome as it actually is. And the United States has not been the aggressor with these situations, Michael. In fact, to the president's credit, he's kept a promise to be not trigger happy, as a matter of fact, in these incidents. That's what the actual reality is. That's what it actually is. So that's the attack against our nation on multiple acts, Michael.
And this is what happens, Rich, when people are fed what an evil government wants them to be fed. And that's the problem. And we're seeing in America, many people in the media are very evil. They are feeding the American people all this negativity. We have people believing a lot of this stuff. And when you speak to them directly, they say, oh, I don't understand that. I watch such and such a channel, and I think that that's the truth. I say it's not the truth. I mean, let me tell you that I tell people this. Get yourself a good job. Focus on your individual well-being. And don't tune into too many negative television or radio shows. Tune into the radio shows that are promoting you, your family, your friends, your communities. And that's really what the problem is. The Iranian people, I know many Iranians here in our region, and they are good people. These are the people that don't like what's happening. These are the people that are discouraged when they see these terrorists coming. But when you live in a country where government feeds you what they want you to hear, then you become radicalized and you do things to try to save your government, to save your people. And it's really unnecessary. If the Iranian Americans returned to America and ran Iran as they are thinking in America, as Americans, Iran would be a great place to live. Its economy would go up and all the radical ideas would go away. Do you agree with that, Larkin?
I do, Michael. Good morning, Rich, and to our audience, good morning. I do agree with what you're saying. You know, my wife and I got up this morning and purposely turned on the news to see what had happened last night. I found out just as I was retiring last night that there had been some bombs lobbed in particular directions. And my wife turned to me this morning and she said, "Why do you seem not unglued about this? Why aren't you concerned? Why are you not really worried about an impending war?" And I said to her that there's a distinct difference between saber rattling and the intent to create war. And what I see going on over there right now is just a whole bunch of saber rattling. What concerns me is the way our government has reacted. That, to me, is a genuine concern. I know that when Soleimani got killed, the Ayatollah and the foreign minister and some of the sub-generals got together and said, so what do we do? I mean, what's our strategy? And I am positive that one of the people in that meeting in Iran said, "Have you read the New York Times?" There's no way of telling what the American position is unless you read their newspapers, because whatever it is they're thinking, whatever it is they're arguing about, whatever their defenses may be, you can read about it in the newspaper. It's called freedom of the press, and it should never be suppressed. It really kind of frightens me. You throw stuff like this together where we can't even take out a terrorist who has killed thousands of American boys, and girls, and without being criticized politically by the other side, just as a kind of amazes me that we could stoop to that level. But boy, we continue to stoop. You couple this inability for the country to all look in the same direction with what I am terribly, my next terrible, terrible concern beyond China is that the next election in 2020 will be viewed as completely illegitimate no matter who wins. I don't care if Trump wins. I don't care if Bernie Sanders wins. I don't care who wins as to be our next president in the Electoral College. If Trump wins, the Dems will say that Trump put himself above the law and investigated his opponents, and which is just absolutely the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And then if the other side wins, I'm sure Trump is going to claim that the impeachment really did swing the election and that the strategy on the part of the Democrats worked. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Trump not show up at the inauguration for the transfer of power. I think this country is that screwed up right now. We are so lost as a nation, it's not even funny.
I agree.
We can't even get two houses of government to conduct a proper impeachment.
Well, that is a very interesting thing that she didn't pass that over to the Senate, because, Rich, you'll remember she was barking for 3 weeks that it has to be before the Christmas holiday, the impeachment. And here we are. It's way after the New Year already. We're the eighth day of the month, and no paper has been sent to the Senate, which I feel is because it is going to exonerate the president. Things are going to come out that they may not want to come out, they never thought would come out, because they controlled what was happening in the House. And here we are today spending big millions of dollars for this nonsense to take place. And that's why I'm very interested what the president is going to have to say, and what he is going to be able to just calm the American people down. I myself am waiting to hear, and will make some comments if he's able to join us, as they say he will be on. Our engineer is ready to put him on if he comes on before we are off the air today. But, you know, guys, that's what I mentioned earlier. I've been in Europe on a number of occasions, and I've been to East Germany. I've been to Poland before the communism fell. I was lucky to be there, at the time of certain very important issues before the round table talks were completed and power was, the election of Lech Wałęsa was possible. And I saw for myself exactly what the communist government was able to feed the people. Even when I was in East Germany, I went on both sides of the wall. I saw what the people on the west side heard and what the people on the east side were heard. And in fact, when you were in some of these countries controlled by the communists, if they didn't want something to be heard, people were able to try to get on to be the BBC and all that. They would jam the stuff at certain times of the night so that you would be discouraged and just shut the radio off. Well, that's how it is in Iran. It's just you are fed this. That's how it was in Iraq. That's how it is in many of those countries where they want to keep complete control. I've traveled through it. I saw it for myself. And that's why I have some idea of what goes on. And when I speak to various people from these countries that came during the time of communism, even those that came from Iran over the years. I see what's on their mind, and they're not happy with what's happening because they all have some level of family left there. They can't go back with peace in their heart knowing exactly what is happening in Iran. And all this going on since the time of Carter and Reagan took over, we've been watching this for 40 years. It seems that these people just haven't got to the point where we are in this country. They're not talking about getting jobs for their people. They're talking about controlling people, mind control. You know, do what we say, not what you feel is best for yourself. And this is really what it's all about. So Americans do not understand how good they have it in this country. There are, and you know, by the way, guys, there are many impacts that happen when Americans spend their money and circulate their money on products made in America. And why do I say that? Because Americans that are employed are able to go out and spend their money on things to support their family and friends. Because American workers, by the way, pay the taxes that support America's education system and their local communities. It's American workers that contribute toward the Social Security system, the repairs of America's roads, and also the bridges and the defense of the country, just to name a few. And, you know, the list could go on and on. I don't see foreign workers providing these types of benefits to America and its economy. So that's why I always urge people to support American made first. And I'll have to tell you, wherever I go, people are saying, I got that message. I really got that message. I am looking at the tags, and they are coming from more countries that I ever would think they would come from, number one. And secondly, countries that hate America have their tags in our stores. Do you see that, Rich?
Well, this is Michael. I mean, I was writing in my book edits just a few nights ago, Larkin, and stay tuned, Michael, because an announcement will be upcoming soon. And I was doing a chapter about diversity, talking about how so many large American cities, the vast majority of them, have been electing the same people, not in quite a literal sense, but the same party, people from the same party, for tens and tens of thousands of consecutive days. And I wrote in there that there's only one place on Earth, like the entire world, right? The entire large Earth we live in, live on, right? There's only one place in the whole world, Michael, that you can turn to where the same people have been running their areas longer than Democrats have been running the Philadelphias, Baltimore's, Detroit, Chicago's, etc., and that's the Middle East. There's only one group that tops the Democrats, and that's out in the Middle East. Think about that for a second. In the world, one place, mm-hmm. Thousands of years. When Chris Columbus set out to find the Americas, Michael, everybody believed the world was flat back then. And he had to make a choice. Sail through the area known as the Middle East or take a chance and sail off the face of the earth. Hmm. He said, let's roll the dice and let's take a chance, even if it means we might sail off the face of the earth. Because sailing through the Middle East is a certain, is a guaranteed failure. So 1492, Michael, he said, I'll take a chance and sail off the face of the earth. Better odds that way, Larkin, than going through there. That was in 1492, which they'd already been warring for thousands of years at that point, Larkin.
Yep.
You can't save it there, Michael. It's irreparable. It's gone. It's been gone for thousands of years. You got to know what's going on. You got to have the ears and the boots to the ground, and you can't be trigger happy. In all things considered, despite some disagreements I've had with the president on certain issues, when it's come to overall foreign policy, Michael, I think that actually a pretty damn good job has been done, actually.
Yes, and you know, Rich,
and you know what? And you know what? And do you know what this is really about with Iran? Here's what it's really about. the sanctions got turned back on, which means that who benefits most in Iran? Who benefited most in Iran from this deal, from the release of their money? All of the same people, Michael, who are launching the damn missiles. You think somebody in the middle of third world Iran benefited from the Iranian deal and the release of a fifth of $1 trillion that we did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the same people launching the missiles at us. That's who benefited most. And then the president came and said, well, I think we're going to try to derail that gravy train. In case you haven't noticed, the other guy ain't in office anymore.
Well, you know, Rich, I have to tell you, you're right. You're right. And it's shameful. But, you know, I blame some of this on groups like the United Nations. Why can't they try to get more of these people working together to get them into the new world, the world of communications?
And Michael, just a quick, if I could just have a quick addendum here, Larkin. Now, whether or not it's associated to what has happened recently, I do not know. But anyone can go on an internet search and find then Secretary of State John Kerry talking about, in a congressional hearing, how the one-fifth of $1 trillion that was released to Iran, some of it would make its way into the hands of terrorists. We actually admitted it publicly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to pause now to welcome the President of the United States.
As long as I'm President of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. Good morning. I'm pleased to inform you the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases. Our great American forces are prepared for anything. Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world. No American or Iraqi lives were lost because of the precautions taken, the dispersal of forces, and an early warning system that worked very well. I salute the incredible skill and courage of America's men and women in uniform. For far too long, all the way back to 1979, to be exact, nations have tolerated Iran's destructive and destabilizing behavior in the Middle East and beyond. Those days are over. Iran has been the leading sponsor of terrorism, and their pursuit of nuclear weapons threatens the civilized world. We will never let that happen. Last week, we took decisive action to stop a ruthless terrorist from threatening American lives. At my direction, the United States military eliminated the world's top terrorist, Qasem Soleimani. As the head of the Quds Force, Soleimani was personally responsible for some of the absolutely worst atrocities. He trained terrorist armies, including Hezbollah, launching terrorist strikes against civilian targets. He fueled bloody civil wars all across the region. He viciously wounded and murdered thousands of U.S. troops, including the planting of roadside bombs that maim and dismember their victims. Soleimani directed the recent attacks on U.S. personnel in Iraq that badly wounded four service members and killed one American, and he orchestrated the violent assault on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. In recent days, he was planning new attacks on American targets, but we stopped him. Soleimani's hands were drenched in both American and Iranian blood. He should have been terminated long ago. By removing Soleimani, we have sent a powerful message to terrorists. If you value your own life, you will not threaten the lives of our people. As we continue to evaluate options in response to Iranian aggression, the United States will immediately impose additional punishing economic sanctions on the Iranian regime. These powerful sanctions will remain until Iran changes its behavior. In recent months alone, Iran has seized ships in international waters, fired an unprovoked strike on Saudi Arabia, and shot down two U.S. drones. Iran's hostilities substantially increased after the foolish Iran nuclear deal was signed in 2013, and they were given $150 billion, not to mention $1.8 billion in cash. Instead of saying thank you to the United States, they chanted death to America. In fact, they chanted death to America the day the agreement was signed. Then Iran went on a terror spree, funded by the money from the deal, and created hell in Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, Afghanistan, and Iraq. The missiles fired last night at us and our allies were paid for with the funds made available by the last administration. The regime also greatly tightened the reins on their own country, even recently killing 1,500 people at the many protests that are taking place all throughout Iran. The very defective JCPOA expires shortly anyway and gives Iran a clear and quick path to nuclear breakout. Iran must abandon its nuclear ambitions and end its support for terrorism. The time has come for the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Russia, and China to recognize this reality. They must now break away from the remnants of the Iran deal, or JCPOA. And we must all work together toward making a deal with Iran that makes the world a safer and more peaceful place. We must also make a deal that allows Iran to thrive and prosper and take advantage of its enormous untapped potential. Iran can be a great country. Peace and stability cannot prevail in the Middle East as long as Iran continues to foment violence, unrest, hatred, and war. The civilized world must send a clear and unified message to the Iranian regime. Your campaign of terror, murder, mayhem will not be tolerated any longer. It will not be allowed to go forward. Today, I am going to ask NATO to become much more involved in the Middle East process. Over the last 3 years, under my leadership, our economy is stronger than ever before, and America has achieved energy independence. These historic accomplishments change our strategic priorities. These are accomplishments that nobody thought were possible. And options in the Middle East became available. We are now the number one producer of oil and natural gas anywhere in the world. We are independent, and we do not need Middle East oil. The American military has been completely rebuilt under my administration at a cost of $2.5 trillion. U.S. armed forces are stronger than ever before. Our missiles are big, powerful, accurate, lethal, and fast. Under construction are many hypersonic missiles. The fact that we have this great military and equipment, however, does not mean we have to use it. We do not want to use it. American strength, both military and economic, is the best deterrent. 3 months ago, after destroying 100% of ISIS and its territorial caliphate, we killed the savage leader of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, who was responsible for so much death, including the mass beheadings of Christians, Muslims, and all who stood in his way. He was a monster. Al-Baghdadi was trying again to rebuild the ISIS caliphate and failed. Tens of thousands of ISIS fighters have been killed or captured during my administration. ISIS is a natural enemy of Iran. The destruction of ISIS is good for Iran, and we should work together on this and other shared priorities. Finally, to the people and leaders of Iran, we want you to have a future, and a great future, one that you deserve, one of prosperity at home and harmony with the nations of the world. The United States is ready to embrace peace with all who seek it. I want to thank you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to a live feed from President Trump's address to the nation regarding the Iran situation. And I would like to say that I thought the message was very good. I thought it was direct. I thought it allowed everyone to know. And as the president said, we're looking for the Iranian people to be able to come out of the dark ages and join us in this world that we want to be beautiful for our children, our grandchildren, our family members, our friends, the workers that we have in our families that want to go out and be able to support themselves and enjoy life, go on vacations, travel, do things for their children, look for a happy and healthy life. I think that this has been lacking in many parts of the world as these people, fanatical people, want to control the people's minds and their futures. And that's what I feel. Larkin, what did you feel from the president's remarks?
What I saw and what I heard, again, was a level of saber rattling, and I don't think much more than that. We all know who and what Iran is, and we all know from our experience with Reagan that it takes a determined, we're not here to play, you will not threaten our people, in order to protect this country. I think that his response was good. I thought he was very Reagan-esque in his approach, saying, you know, we're here to protect our people. Beyond that, I think this event has been saber-rattling. We'll see, though, the degree that they have the new sanctions put on, that's also going to indicate how serious this event was beyond what I call I hate to keep on using the term saber rattling, but that's honestly what I see.
You know, Larkin, I did hear something in the president's remarks, and that was that what's happening today probably could would have been paid for by the money that we gave to them during the past administration when they made that deal. I think we should get a refund. I think the president should ask for a refund and see how they respond. I mean, what did we give them the money for? Some of it was their own money, but then we gave them additional money. Why did we give them that money? I don't understand. Rich, do you know?
Well, the money, Michael, so the original one-fifth of a trillion was Iranian money. It was released once long-standing sanctions were ended.
Now, Rich, since you have an idea, why was America holding on to that money?
Well, it's just a policy. It's an internationally recognized standard policy that those sanctions, when we have sanctions placed on a country, we're holding their money. The United States is, we'll hold money in sanctions. And that's what we did.
Okay. Most people would not understand why we would hold Iranian money. Did they bank in America? Did they buy in America? How was America holding on to that money? Yes, Larkin.
They freeze their assets.
Okay. And that's what people need to know.
It usually takes the backing and support of international banking and United States banking. But that's essentially what they do. That money sitting in the bank, whether it's Deutsche Bank or wherever it was, when America freezes those assets, that's Iranian money that they can't get their hands on.
Now, Larkin and Rich, can you tell me when those dollars were frozen?
Oh, they were decades held, Mike.
Okay, so here's the reason I'm asking that question is, if those assets were held, why didn't during the Carter administration, why didn't Clinton, why didn't Bush give the money to the Iranian people? Why was it held until Obama allowed them to get that money? But they also received a large amount of money as a bonus. What was the bonus for, Rich?
Well, let me answer your first question, Michael, with a statement. You're asking why something happened. And you can go all the way back to the 70s. You can go all the way back decades and decades when assets were first held in abeyance and frozen.
That was during the time of the Shah of Iran?
Right, exactly. So that's Carter's time. So
yes.
All the presidents...
No, it was after the Shah. Shah was a friend.
Afterwards.
So after the Shah fled Iran,
the money was held.
The reason I'm asking is because the extra money...
Your question for President Obama and John Kerry and Susan Rice.
Right. Why did they release it without the consent of the Congress and the American people? Why didn't the American people say, hey... we can release their money into the international viewership of the United Nations, but not just to turn it over and give pallets of extra money. What was the extra money for? I'd like to have that extra money back. And by the way, when the Shah left, if history reflects in my mind correctly, when the Shah left, they did freeze the assets. What made them unfreeze it during the latter part of the Obama administration?
That was Obama's negotiation with the Ayatollah to get them to sign what many people claim were very, very weak anti-nuclear agreements. The biggest criticism, I believe, Rich, came when the agreement expired in 5 years.
That's correct.
And, you know, I mean, not 5 years, 10 years. I apologize. Okay. And you know, it was just a very weak deal, as declared by the critics of the deal that Obama made. But it was pretty weak if it expires in 10 years. That 10 years
passes like poof. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Larkin, the reason I'm bringing it up is, first of all, that should not have been done by a president alone based upon the reason it was held to begin with. It should have been done with the full approval of the House of Representatives and the Senate. This is another very ticklish situation because we held their money in an international market type thing to punish them for past ill deeds. Here we are, they're using a lot of the money we returned to them to continue their ill, plus we gave them a bonus, which I'd like to see refunded. We gave them a big amount of money. I don't remember. It was a big amount of money, $1 trillion or whatever. It was billions of dollars. they received. Why would we do that? For what reason? They got their money back plus a bonus.
Yeah, you're taxing my historical brain here, the history side of my brain, which is on the left side, I think. I know that there was $1.4 billion that we were holding, that we had assets that we had frozen, I believe, and then the other side of that was the $100 million. That we gave them as an incentive, and my point is, Larkin,
those dollars, those bonus dollars that were provided, were paid for by the good people of America through their tax dollars, which I feel have been wasted. And this whole thing is showing us that the Iranian people, with all the sanctions that we've done, don't care, because they have leaders over there that are wanting to do whatever they want to do. And we have leaders in America who do whatever they want to do and hold up whatever they want to hold. It's time for leadership to get together and say, what are we going to do for the good of mankind? That's my thinking. What are we going to do for the benefit of American workers? Can you believe that we are talking today about restoring just a 50-50 balance between American-made and foreign-made products in America, where just 35 years ago, 95% of everything that you went into a store to buy was made here in this country and then shipped out all around the world? That's my point. Richard, you're a historian. You're a person who knows a lot about this stuff. I mean, here we are. We're begging to get back to a 50-50 balance in a great country like America.
Well, Michael, sometimes I think I could get away with saying this. Tim doesn't need to bleep me out. Sometimes karma is, in fact, a bitch, actually. Because President Obama's position was that it didn't need the JCPOA didn't need, the Iran deal didn't need congressional approval because it wasn't a treaty. So based on that logic, based on the principle employed by President Obama himself, is actually the exact principle that President Trump employed and said, oh, so if it doesn't need congressional approval to start, it doesn't need congressional approval to end it. And that's what he did, Larkin. So sometimes, Michael, you can live by the pen, but you can die by it also. And that's what happened here. And the amount of money if you look at the actual published reports, there's $150 billion you see. Then there are numbers like $50 billion. There is a range somewhere in there. It's tens of billions of dollars, Michael, in frozen assets accumulated over decades that was released. And that was released money to say, hey, we're going to be friends now. We're going to be, we're not friends, perhaps. That's not fair to say. We're going to try to find peace. And so what...
Common ground. Yeah.
So what President Obama and John Kerry and Susan Rice did, here was their sales pitch, Mike. Remember, everything in life is sales. So their sales pitch was to the world, right? To the United States and to the world, it was, we want to keep a nuclear bomb out of the hands of these people in Iran, because if they get a bomb, there's a higher than likely chance that they might use it. So that was the position. We want to prevent them from becoming nuclearized. Okay, we could all agree, I think, reasonably on that principle, Michael. But then you look at what the actual agreement was, and then you find some real doozies, such as, well, we're going to give you 28 days notice before we come and check your nuclear sites. Now, Michael, can you imagine if a probation office gave Jeffrey Dahmer 28 days of probation notice and said, hey, Jeff, we'll see you in 28 days at your house? That wouldn't make a lot of sense, right? So why did we give a month to the country we just said, Michael, two breaths ago, we don't want them to become nuclearized, but we're going to give them a month's notice just so they know we're going to come and pay him a visit. Does that now, Michael, does that actually make any sense to you?
No, it does not.
And on top of it, we released tens of billions of frozen dollars in assets, and then our Secretary of State goes in front of the world and says, well, some of that money's going to make its hands into terrorists. And no one bats an eye. Oh, okay. Cost of doing business, I guess, Larkin.
Yeah. I've done some quick checking here.
Forget Republican, Democrat. Does anything I just said, which is factually true, everything I just said is factually correct, Michael? Does any of it make sense?
Nothing. And by the way, this is where, here in America, I am begging people to contact their elected officials and do something positive to make sure that the people you elected, you allowed to go to Washington to represent you, know that you're concerned that these things should not continue. They should know that rules and regs that were put into effect to protect us have to be honored. They should know that we can't continue to be taxed to death, be put into debt, what I call death debt, the debt clock. We put into $22 trillion in debt with no way to pay it back. It's not like we had a mortgage and you look in 30 years, it'll be paid back. There is no way to pay that money back. It's killing us. And yet this country is taking opportunities to give money like candy around the world while people in America live in poverty, where people in America are not getting proper education, and people in America have not been given the right job skills for the jobs that are open and available today. When I hear that there are 6,800,000 open jobs in the United States, mainly because we don't have the skilled workers to fill them, because the skilled workers are already working two jobs in some cases. They're already working and we don't have enough skilled workers, but we have that millions and millions of people in poverty, millions of people without the proper education, millions and millions of people that can't read, write, or measure. How is that possible in America, the great country of America? If someone can answer those questions, please send me your information. Let me know. Send it to michael@americanworkersradio.com. I'll be sure to read them in the future. Most people will say, no, it's impossible. We allowed this to happen by allowing these Nancy Pelosi's and all these others, you know, play the games from the rostrums that they want to play, and we pay the bill. Nobody's speaking up. Nobody's calling their senators and congressmen and whip them down. Yes, Rich.
Can I just make one other point? Okay. So today, Larkin, whether it's an act of war or saber rattling, Larkin, everyone can have a difference, but bottom line is there are acts of aggression. So today, look how foolish the Iran deal actually looks today. Think about it.
Right.
Think about how it's foreign policy for children, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how foolish it actually looks right now that was done by an American president. Think about how foolish it looks right now at this moment.
Yeah. I mean, Rich, I agree with you 2,000%. There was nothing properly documented. And, you know, it's going to go away in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. When you're living and dealing with a country, you're living in a country and dealing with the government of a country that don't tell its people the truth. The saber rattling is done for the people of Iran so that their leaders can say, we bombed back, we caused this big damage and all. The people will never have an idea of what really happened. All they know is missiles were flying overhead and we retaliated against America. It's just so much of a waste of money and time. And we can't afford to waste that. 2020 has to be our year to move forward. 2020 has to be our time to make sure that America is number one. And I'm urging all of you, if you would, to take a look on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And there is a link on the front page to register to vote. Kindly make sure you are registered to vote, because, believe it or not, election time is not that far away. The primary. I want to see what the American people are going to choose to do. Well, as you hear by the music in the background, we had a great show. It was great to have the words of wisdom from President Trump be broadcast during our American Workers Radio show today. I want to thank all of you for going out of your way to support American workers, our local businesses, support that American-made label, because that's what's going to make our jobs come about, our economy soar, and we'll get back to fixing America's infrastructure and everything that we need to live in the great country of America. Thank you, Rich Loges. Thank you, Larkin Connolly. Thank you, Henry Chaplinsky. And until this Saturday at 11, or next Wednesday at 11, I bid all of you the very best. Once again, Happy New Year to you and yours. Go out and support American made.